And now, back to the news. Our next five stories all have a health focus. We start again at the Norwich and Norfolk University Hospital, where a report on the use of private finance is developing. The hospital has stimulated a diverse response. The Matthew Project, a very impressive Norwich charity, hopes to soon open a Norwich recovery hub to help people over 18 with drug and alcohol dependency issues back into work and a healthier life. There'll be a major shake-up this autumn in adult social care in Norfolk as a result of County Council budget cuts. One aspect of this is the closure of the Older People Outreach Service run by the Red Cross, Cotman Housing and Great Yarmouth Borough Council. And the winner of a 2015 Carer of the Year award has called for more recognition for unpaid carers. The government has been urged to reconsider the use of private finance initiative contracts in the NHS, as two of the three shareholders involved in a Norfolk hospital deal were named among those operating the most contracts nationally. A study by the Centre for Health and the Public Interest found private firms with contracts to build and equip NH hospitals have made £831 million profit over 6 years. And the NHS will pay around £80.8 billion over the life of the private finance initiative contracts, 92% of which are run by just eight companies. The Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital was one of the first large PFI scheme hospitals in the NHS, with the deal being signed in 1996. The £220 million cost was put up by consortium Octagon, now made up of three shareholders, Semperion, Innifree and 3i Infrastructure Seeds Assets Limited. This year, the hospital expects to pay Octagon £59 million, but analysis by the CHPI found both Semperion and Innifree were two of the investment firms involved in the most schemes nationally. Dr. Ian Gibson, who was Norwich North MP when the hospital was built in 2001, said, "It's ridiculous. People are making huge profits out of it and continuing to do so." But a Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital spokesman said, "The PFI arrangement has helped us to deliver a world-class hospital for the people of Norfolk, where we have been able to expand services, develop a teaching hospital, and become a centre for research with the Norwich Research Park and UEA."
A city hub to help adults with alcohol and drug abuse problems get their lives back on track could be open next year. The Matthew Project, which started 33 years ago, already supports 14,000 young people, adults and armed forces veterans directly and indirectly affected by drug and alcohol misuse across Norfolk and Suffolk each year. And now the charity hopes to open a Norwich recovery hub to do more targeted work on getting people over 18, particularly underrepresented groups who require more support for alcohol and drug issues, get them back into work and healthier lives. These include women, older people, working age people, young adults, armed forces veterans, and those in rural areas. Matthew Project staff are looking for a building after receiving £595,000 from Public Health England, and Chief Executive Paul Martin hopes the hub can open early next year. Mr. Martin said that some statutory services for people with drug and alcohol problems in Norfolk were hit and miss, and the aim of the hub was to tackle this. Volunteer mentors who had recovered from alcohol or drug issues will provide support at the hub, which will be open to anyone 7 days a week. The Matthew Project hopes to run a minibus service to and from the hub and potentially expand the hub ideas across Norfolk.
A major shake-up in the way Norfolk's most vulnerable people are cared for is to be launched this autumn, but concerns have been raised over its impact. Conservative-run Norfolk County Council needs to save £125 million over the next 4 years, and leaders have set a target to shave £31 million from the adult social care budget. One of the ways they are seeking to do that is to reset social work, reducing people's dependency on council services such as residential homes and helping people live independently. The council describes its proposed new Living Well policy as having been tried and tested in 20 other councils. They say social workers will assist people to remain or regain independence using help in their own communities and social networks first and foremost. But they acknowledge the move away from people with needs being matched to services such as day centres and residential homes will be a big shift. Sheila Gurney, Vice Chairman of the Adult Social Care Committee, said, "We know that most people are happier and healthier if they can continue to live in their own homes, and we want to work more closely with families, neighbourhoods and communities to help make this happen. We're recruiting 50 additional social workers to make sure that our hard-pressed teams have the time to really listen and understand the challenges faced by people, working with them to maximise their independence and to help us introduce this new approach across Norfolk." However, Hilary MacDonald, Chief Executive of Age UK Norfolk, previously warned that making more than £30 million worth of cuts in adult social care spending was unworkable. She had warned, "There is simply no avoiding the fact that a growing, ageing population brings a requirement for more, not less, investment in health and care services."
A service which helps more than 140 older people in Norfolk stay in their own homes is to be scrapped. The Older People Outreach Support Service comes to an end on August the 31st. The free service, provided by the British Red Cross, Cotman Housing and Great Yarmouth Borough Council, sees staff or volunteers visit older people in their homes to help them with issues such as managing finance and personal safety. But after consultation, the council, looking to reduce spend on housing-related support from £10.5 million this year to £4.7 million in 2018-19, agreed to end the service. The council says it will be spending £1.3 million on support in the community for older people, linked with existing advice services, hubs and district-based services. A spokesman for the Red Cross said, "While our staff and volunteers are understandably disappointed by the closure, we have worked closely to support them."
A group which supports carers in Norfolk has called for more councils and organisations to consider a category for unpaid carers when putting together local community award schemes. David Gibbs, 30, from Taverham, won Broadland District Council's Carer of the Year Award in 2015. Recognition which, he says, means a lot. Mr. Gibbs cares for his wife, 29-year-old Lisa, who has ME, which came on suddenly after a bout of flu. She went from being fit and active to being bedbound overnight. Mr. Gibb was thrown into the deep end as an unpaid carer. Mr. Gibbs said, "With there being little care for my wife's condition, being recognised by my community has meant a huge deal for me. I feel valued and reminded that people do care about us. We may be isolated, but we're not alone, and my award is a daily reminder of this." Joy Salter, 66, from Acle, cared for her daughter Zoe, who has learning difficulties, for 38 years, and now cares for her 76-year-old husband John, who has a range of health issues, including osteoarthritis, heart and blood problems. She said, "Unpaid carers save the community thousands of pounds every year because they're often looking after someone who might otherwise receive even more support from local health and social services. Carers keep going regardless, even if they suffer health or emotional problems themselves. So we welcome nominations from the local community for this award because it means acknowledgement of their role and contribution." Joe Phillips from Norfolk Carers added, "It's really important to raise the profile of unpaid carers. Often people will go months or years before seeking help because they're unaware there is even a name for what they are doing. By rewarding those people who care for a friend or family member, it not only acknowledges their efforts, but means other unpaid carers may understand their role better and reach for support more readily. The first feature today marks a remarkable turnaround in the fortunes of the Norwich City Market. The feature was written by Dominic Gilbert and the Evening News, and is read by Sophie Yeomans.